Okay, good morning, everyone. We were in the middle of Chana's prayer in Perek Aleph, Shmuel Aleph, Pasuk Yud and Yud Aleph. And we said we learn a lot about prayer from Chana. So I just began to touch on this idea that I gave you a sheet from the Nefesh HaChaim, from Reb Chaim of Volozhin. So you have it in the, and basically the second gate of his work talks about prayer. And what I gave you in the Hebrew, you have the 11th chapter, part of the, in the English also, you have part of the 11th and part of the 12th chapter. You don't have it all, but you've got parts of it. And the English as well. Now the English is not a complete translation of the Nefesh HaChaim. It's got little sections. So when we will get to the parts that you need to know, the Hebrew is only one sheet, it's obvious. There's an arrow pointing on the right side on Perek Yud Aleph. On the English, we are on, one second, it's page 90. The one on the left-hand side says page 90, and you see an arrow over there. Okay? Well, I'm not starting there right now, but I will shortly. So when we get to that, then you'll know where to look, okay? So, Reb Chaim talks a lot about prayer, and one of the concepts of prayer, especially what the men of the Great Assembly put together, is that we see in the daily offering, we say we bring korbani lachmi l'Hashem. Hashem says, bring korbani, my korban, lachmi, my bread. So what does that mean? That a korban, an animal offering, is Hashem's bread. Does Hashem eat? Why is it called my bread? And the answer is that the service of the korbanot, and to which prayer is modeled after and serves a similar goal, is that the animal offering is part of the activities we do to nurture an ongoing relationship between us and Hashem. In other words, again, just to overview the whole idea of Yiddishkeit, the whole point of Judaism is to enjoy the pleasure of the relationship and the closeness to Hashem. So therefore, there are things we must do to nurture that relationship. Relationships do not establish themselves and are not maintained unless they are nurtured. And that's an unfortunate thing. Because a lot of people forget that. You get married, and then you figure, okay, we're married. So now we're married. That's it. We don't have to do anything. And then the husband comes home from work. The wife comes home from work. And the wife, let's just say, starts telling the husband all the problems she had at home or what she had at work. And we'll have to update this this thing. So used to be, the husband's reading the paper while the wife is talking. Now he's looking at the BlackBerry while the wife is talking. You know, it's no different. The only thing is you can do it under the table and they're wondering why you're looking down. So it's not right in your face, but it's the same thing. Looking at the BlackBerry while talking. So, and you figure, and then the wife wants a divorce and the guy doesn't understand why. Because you know, haven't nurtured, you know, a relationship that has to have an investment of time to nurture in it. You've got to develop and share your feelings with each other. Well, it's no different with us and Hashem. We have to nurture that relationship. And that nurturing is what we call the bread. That's the bread. Just like bread, when you eat bread, the nutrients in the bread give life to the human body. So the time we spend with people, sharing our feelings and sharing our thoughts, is the bread of the relationship. It's the staff of life of that relationship. For that relationship to live, it has to be nurtured. And that's what Hashem is telling us with the animal offerings and with prayer. It is that vehicle that nurtures the relationship between us and Hashem. Point number one. Very important point, because this will begin to explain a chazal that says, why did Hashem make I'm losing my voice today. Why did Hashem make the patriarchs and matriarchs buried? So it says, Hashem is nisava litfilasim shel tzadikim. Hashem yearns for the prayers of the righteous. Which is a hard concept to understand at first blush. What do you mean? Hashem's ego is so big, he needs everybody to pray to him? I will not give you children so that you'll be screaming out in pain to me and begging me for children. And then finally, when your ego has been stroked enough, you'll kindly bestow a child to this family. There could be nothing crueler than that. So what's the pshat? The pshat is that the world, in order to exist, must have this relationship with Hashem. If there's no relationship with mankind to Hashem, then it's a give and take relationship. Hashem created the world, and I am for the world as much as the world wants me to be for it. If nobody talks to me, meaning to say, nobody wants me to be involved in your life, and what's the whole idea? Why does the wife tell the husband what's going on in her life? Because she wants the husband involved in her life. That's what she wants. She wants his input, wants his feeling, wants his support, wants to share her life with him, and wants him in her world. So that's the way Hashem made the world. He says, I made the world, you have a choice. Do you want me in your world? Do you not want me in your world? A relationship is only as strong as its weakest link. The weakest link is humanity. Hashem isn't weak at all. And more than that, you can't force yourself upon people who don't want you. And Hashem cannot force his blessings upon the world. If people want it, say, Hashem, we want you. Please, our greatest pleasure is your involvement in our lives. Then Hashem says, I'm happy to accommodate that for you. It's really a fairly simple system, Judaism. It's people, that's what King Solomon says. Hashem created people straight, but they've made all kinds of calculations. So we make all these calculations, well, you know, but that's the simple system. If there isn't a very many people praying to God, that will be catastrophic for the world. Literally. Because then the world is saying, God, stay out of our lives. Hashem says, if that's what you want, that's what will be. And when God stays out of your lives, then you're up to the forces of nature that go by themselves, and the natural world is not very kind to the human being. And that's, Hashem doesn't want that, but that's what you want. He can't force himself. If somebody doesn't want you around, the more you get involved, the more they hate you. So Hashem's off to back off. So what happens is, if there aren't a lot of people involved in praying to Hashem, the world still needs it. The world needs a certain amount of prayer to keep it going. So now what does Hashem have to do? Well, he has to take those that do pray to him and push them to pray more. And push them to pray more. So the tzaddik, who would normally pray X amount and is happy to pray to Hashem for X amount of things, Hashem creates for them all kinds of misery that necessitates them to dig deeper and to pray more. And really what happens then is there is a greater allocation of prayer that is happening from mankind directed up to God. And that makes up for the lack of prayer that exists in the world. Without a certain amount of prayer, the world won't continue. So Hashem has to count on his strong people to create scenarios that force them to look at life a little bit deeper, and to dig deeper into the prayers, and to find who they are even more so, and how much more so that they need a Kaddish Baruch Hu in their lives. This will explain why, certainly when the patriarchs existed, there weren't very many people interested in God. So they had to be praying for a whole world. That's a lot of prayer. So you have to be constantly involved in prayer. You have to have constant things to pray to Hashem for, but we're going to take it a deeper level shortly. Still sounds a bit selfish, but we'll get to it. So now we can say the same thing over here. This is my little insight. This next, just everything else is Reb Chaim. I just have maybe one little thing on my own to say. But the point being, so why is it that Chana is the one who is going through so much suffering and pain? And obviously, Elkanah has been praying and praying for years, and now Chana comes to a state of prayer that very few people achieved in their lifetimes, is because, well, that's how we started the story. Why? What was the whole virtue of Elkanah that we said last week? Is nobody was going to Shiloh. Nobody felt it was important to disturb your busy schedule and come to the temple and pray to God and bring offerings to God three times a year. So if the Jewish people aren't doing that, that's really bad. The whole reason Hashem brought us to Eretz Yisrael is to go to Shul and Daven, right? Not to surf on the beaches in Tel Aviv. That's not why he gave us the land of Israel. Not really at all. Or to be skiing on Mount Hermon. That's not what he gave us the land of Israel for. He gave us to go and be the best Jews we can be. And that's the place where you can pray the best to Hashem. So he gave you Shiloh. He gave you a Mishkan. Go bring offerings. Go talk to Hashem. Nobody's interested. So you see what happens when no one's interested. That's why the end of Shoftim had the two terrible stories. The terrible story of Pilegesh Begiva, civil war, 70,000 people kill each other because there's no God in the picture. Everybody does what they want. Right? So Hashem says, I have to have some people praying to me. So even if it's only one family, but somebody's got to pray to me. So that's the heroism of Elkanah and Hannah. So that's why Hashem is making it so hard for them, because Hashem needs prayer and he gets it from the ones who he knows is going to provide it. And that will sustain the relationship between the Jewish people and Hashem. So I think on that point, people should take comfort in the fact to know that if they are going through extremely difficult times, so one possible reason for it, it's not the only reason, but one possible reason is that Hashem knows that you are a person who can send them beautiful tefillot. You're a person who's going to be filling the gap between the rest of the Jewish people who aren't praying properly and you. And Bedavka, the good person who knows how to pray and prays properly, Hashem is the one who's going to be pushing harder and giving him much more to pray for. So that's point number one, which you haven't come to the sheets yet, but that's a very important concept. So then Reb Chaim asks another question, and a very, very strong question. So in the English, it's on the lower left-hand side on page 90. And on the Hebrew, it's on the right-hand side, about six lines from the top, where there's an arrow over there, where it's by the Perek Yud Aleph side. And I'm going to read from my old Nefesh HaChaim. So I'm going to read a little bit and translate. He says, Ki be'emes yipole eich shayach levakesh lischanin klal lefon of yisbarach shemo lehoser melov tzara v'yisurav. He's talking about a person who is in suffering, and he's praying to Hashem to help him. So he asks the famous question. He says, how is it possible that a person should plead before Hashem to remove his suffering and his pain? It's not logical. Why? Kemo be'inyin refuas aguf. Let's look at an analogy to healing of the body. Harofe mashkeu samonim harifim. The doctor gives him very strong medicine that's very painful to take. Oim harofe muchrach afgam lachtoch eber echad lagamri. Or if God forbid, the doctor's forced to amputate a part of the body totally. So yishpashet eres achol yoser, that the poison shouldn't spread any further. Would a person plead before the doctor not to give him the medicine? Not to amputate the leg? The sick person is paying the doctor to take his leg off. Right? You understand? If a person's sick, the doctor says, if we don't cut off the leg, you die in 3 weeks. You'll be dead. If we cut the leg off, you can live another 10 years. So the guy says, I want to live. So what's he going to do? He says, please, please, do me a favor. Please, 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 don't take off the leg. It's hurting so much. It's going to be terrible. Don't give me this medicine. So the doctor says, I understand that you want to live. So the same thing over here. Cain, Eich yishpoch siach lefon of yisbarach shemol lahasr me'lava yisurim. Why would a person pour forth his Hashem pleadings him to remove the suffering? But the suffering itself is the bandage, it is the salve of life to atone for his sins. As it says in Gemara Shabbos, Ein Yisurim Below Avon. There's no suffering without sin. Without the suffering, how do you get atonement for? We know that suffering is an atonement for sins. So if a person is suffering, he knows it's coming because there's something he's done wrong that needs to be cleansed. And the doctor, Hashem, is administering the required medicine of the suffering. And if you believe there's a God, he's in control of the world. So therefore, he is administering to you exactly what you need. So if what you need is a dose of suffering, and without it, you will not be a person that's been cleansed of his sin. A person is walking around with arrogance, incredible arrogance, and gets angry all the time, thinks he's better than everybody. That's a terrible sickness. And such a sickness has brought and will continue to bring a person to do averos that totally destroy his relationship with God and will probably not let him get into the world to come. So Hashem, in his all merciful kindness, strikes the person many blows. You know, he lost all his money. His spouse walked out on him. He's terribly sick. And the guy's finally meant to realize, you know, buddy, you've been an arrogant fellow. I'm trying to knock you down a few pegs. I'm waiting to see some tshuva on your part. And the guy's pleading to God, take away the pain, take away the pain. But God said, if I take away the pain, you go back to be the same brat you are all your life. So, you know, until I see tshuva, it's got to happen. No, take away the pain, take away the pain. It doesn't work that way. The doctor still has to operate. So the question is, why should you pray? Who brought you to sickness, Hashem? Who made it that you don't have any money? Who made it that you don't have a shidduch? Who made it that you don't have any children? It's Hashem. So he knows what he's doing, right? It's to make you better. So what are you praying to him for? It's a fantastic question, isn't it? It's a fantastic question. So therefore, he continues, and he says, you have to remember that the whole purpose of prayer is to make this connection to Hashem. To make this connection to Hashem. That's what the whole point we're talking about over here is. So therefore, we'll continue the next paragraph. He says, I don't know if the English, it's not going to necessarily follow. The English took you to the question. It could be, maybe, because it jumps around. It's not exactly. So you'll see if you get lost in the English, don't worry. Just listen. He says, "Omnam tachlis hakavona." So, what is the real intent, the ultimate intent, when you pray? Is shchicha shetia rak tzorach kavoa? The real goal of prayer should be for the needs of above, Hashem. Why? We have a rule: kim bimkom shiyesh chilul shmo yisbarach. In a place where there's a desecration of Hashem's name, kagon tzaras klal yisrael. For example, the Jewish people are in great peril, and they bring certain psukim now to prove this in Yecheskel. Ve'amoram Hashem Ela, what the nation will say, this is the nation of Hashem. Look what's happening to them. In other words, the non-Jews are looking and saying, well, I guess the Jews aren't very special people. Look at all the problems they're having. Where's their God? That's a desecration of Hashem. Ve'hemamukim u'mu'unim, and the Jewish people are being hit and they're suffering. So now, what should the focus of the Jewish people be when they're suffering? The Jews are obliged to pour their hearts out before Hashem over the disgrace of Hashem's honor. And for the sake of his name. In other words, when the Jewish people in large are in trouble, yes, there is the pain to the Jewish people, but more importantly, there's the pain that the Almighty suffers, as it were. Now, I don't want us to start, thinking like Christians here, that God has physical pain. We're talking about in the context of the relationship that Hashem has with the Jewish people is where he displays qualities. And therefore, in the context of his relationship with the Jewish people are suffering, Hashem is, his plan for this world is not working out. Because the plan for the world is the whole world to recognize God. And when the Jewish people are suffering, the world does not recognize God. So the plan is not coming to fruition. And this quote unquote pains God. Right? So therefore, what should the focus be when the Jewish people are in trouble? It's not, oh, Nebuch, look at all the people that are suffering. Of course, that's true. But more importantly, Hashem's plan is not coming to fruition. And the Creator is undergoing a tremendous suffering vis-a-vis his relationship with us. And similarly, with an individual. If an individual has pain, v'gama yochid al tzaro, if an individual is suffering, avimeichil Hashem b'davar, even if it's not a desecration of God's name, Yesh makom gam ke levakish lefanis baruch agol hatsar shalmala. There's a place to still speak to Hashem over the great suffering that Hashem has above. Shadam shari b'tzar lamata, because of the pain that a person has below. And that's what it says. Rabbi Meir says in the Gemara. He says v'zman shadam mitzayer, when a person is suffering, shchina malo shadam eres. What is the divine presence saying? Kolani meroshi, kolani mizroi. Oh, I feel a weakness in my head, as it were. I feel a weakness in my arm, as it were. When a person is suffering, Hashem is suffering. Hashem is saying, I wanted to give good to this person. I created this person for one reason, to give him the goodness of life, to feel the delicious sensation of dveikus to Hashem. And look what he's done. All he does, he plays around all day long like an overgrown baby with all the sophisticated toys he has. And just destroyed his marriage, destroyed his relationships. He's a miserable person. But of course he thinks he's very happy because he has a lot of money. So then Hashem has to strike him down. He has to. And now the person's suffering. He says, why did it have to come to this? You know, as the old adage, the good parent who punishes a child, that's really true when they say, it hurts me more than it's going to hurt you. That's if it's a good parent. Very few of those around anymore. Most parents are having a good time punishing their kids. It's relieving their stress, their tension. That's for sure true, because if it wasn't, there wouldn't be so many clinics for abuse. Most parents are abusing their children. In fact, but it's just not recorded, that's all. I would say the majority, there's some types of abuse. Maybe not all the time. Verbal abuse, not necessarily physical abuse. Because they're losing their minds. They're hard enough, they have a tough enough life. It's tough at work, tough here, tough there. And on top of that, the kids, who I only brought kids in the world so they would give me pleasure, and now they're making life hard, so I'll smack them up and I'll feel lots of pleasure from that too. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. Don't say not. Don't say not. You have a few that never do make a mistake. And a few angelic parents around. If anybody doesn't agree to that, then you're just denying yourself. That's all. If you want to, go ahead. I don't care. But, I'm saying there might be a few. I'm not saying 100%, but certainly 90% without a question. One form of verbal abuse to children or another, for sure. Okay. So the point being, person comes into this world, and so Hashem says, I gotta fix this guy up. And it pains Hashem to have to straighten the person out. A good parent, you know, the biggest proof is that Hashem doesn't wallop you right when you do the Avera. Hashem will wait, he can wait 5 years, 10 years, it's lots of time, he has lots of compassion, maybe you're gonna come to the understanding yourself. No, so when 10 years after you've done all these terrible things, then Hashem punishes you, that's out of anger. How often does the parent wait enough time to discipline the child? Or more often, it's at the moment of anger that they're doing it. How many parents say, you did something wrong, tomorrow we will talk about it when I am calm. Right. You have a few, but most don't. But Hashem doesn't work that way. Hashem does it out of kindness, out of love. And therefore it hurts him so much more than it hurts us. So now you have to realize that, and he brings a lot of proofs to that, that when the Jewish people are suffering, it's a great chilul Hashem, a desecration of Hashem's honor. And when an individual is suffering, it pains Hashem greatly for that. Okay, so now we're going to skip a bit in the Hebrew and the English for sure. And he brings all kinds of proofs to show that Hashem suffers the pain with us. So therefore, at the end of chapter 11, and so in the Hebrew, it's the bottom paragraph on the right-hand side. And in the English, I don't know if it's there. It could be. I don't know what we've done in English so far.
Can we ask questions yet or not?
No, you can't ask any questions yet. I'm sorry.
Yes or no?
No, can't ask any questions.
Comments?
You have to listen. No, no comments. No, something to comment and I haven't finished. Okay. The Zeu, and that's what it means. Imo Anochi Vitzara. That's what it says in Psalms. Imo Anochi. I am with him in his pain. What does it mean? Hainu, shemin ha-meitzar, mishatef oso yisparach shemo. That in this time of stress, Hashem partners himself with the person suffering. And then it says, also it says, achal tseo, then I can help him. U'kishadam ein margish tsaro mi'isurav. And when a person doesn't feel his own pain, of his own suffering, why? Mi'godol meriruso mi'tsaro kivyachol. Because of the abundant pain of Hashem's pain that the human feels. You got that? In other words, that would be analogous to, let's say, a father who has, his leg is hurting him a lot, and he's in pain, and he just saw Nebuch, his son, fall off a cliff. And he falls, and his son is screaming in pain. Whose pain is the father feeling right now? He's feeling the child's pain. He doesn't even know that his leg is hurting. Right? So when a person feels Hashem's pain, he's saying, oy, how Hashem must be in pain. That Hashem is in pain that this Holocaust happened. Everyone worries about the 6 million. Okay? Well, what about God's pain? You think he was happy to bring that along? Right? How much did Hashem suffering that it's had to happen? How much is Hashem suffering, Nebuch? If a young woman doesn't wake up in the morning, how much Hashem suffers? I mean, we're not denying everybody else's pain too, for sure. We're not denying it, but who's suffering more? Even the Creator Himself. So if a person can forget about his pain and focus on a Kodesh Baruch Hu's pain, which is infinitely worse than your pain, he says, "Hamarora salalu." That pain, heinei netza meiruk pshav. That is the main cleansing of the sin. And now you get atonement. So that your own suffering leaves. And that's the mystery, he says, the mystical secret of Lahamtik Mar Bamar. By taking the bitter and crushing it against the bitter, you create the sweet. When Moshe threw the bitter stick in the bitter water, it created sweet water. How does that work? So the point that Reb Chaim is saying is Hashem has to discipline us, has to give us pains to bring us a kapara, to bring us an atonement. An atonement comes through the suffering. That's how the atonement comes. But if the person will now, so you got a choice. You could sit and take the pain, and that's a limited view of what's going on. All right? Then you know, let's say God says you have to be in pain for 3 months. And that will cleanse it. So there's nothing to talk about. Just take it and keep your mouth shut. But if you, so there's nothing to pray to God. If you just say, Hashem, take away my pain, Hashem, I'm really sorry, you got to suffer the next 3 months. And if I do take it, be careful, I don't listen, I better not listen to prayers, because if I take away the pain, it'll be the same Balgaiva you were before. And it's not going to help. Just take it. Now, so why should I pray? Because remember, prayer is demonstrating, feeding and nurturing the relationship between you and Hashem. And here's such a critical point. When people are in pain, the biggest mistake they make is that they only think about their pain. Now, we're not saying that that would be a natural way for a person to respond. Because when you're in pain, it hurts you. So you're feeling your pain. But the problem is that's such a short-sighted way of looking at life. Even forget about God. a person is suffering, don't you think your parents are suffering? Don't you think your spouse is suffering? Don't you think your kids are suffering? Shouldn't you concern yourself with their pain too? Shouldn't you try to alleviate their pain too? But that's hard. You have to be a big person to do that, to get out of your own self. Remember, if you're a narcissistic person, like 95% of the world is, right? So when you're in, so just like when you want good things, you only think of yourself. So when you're involved in suffering, you only think of yourself, because you're only thinking of yourself all the time. So it doesn't matter if things are good or things are bad. You're only thinking about yourself. The hope is, when Hashem has to wallop you, then maybe you'll stop thinking of yourself. When first Hashem makes it good. He makes it good and says, with all the good, maybe you won't only think of yourself. Look how much I gave you. Maybe you will give tzedakah. I've built in a lot of mitzvahs for you to think of others. Right? When you have your field, you leave a corner of your field. You leave leket, chik, chapeh, all kinds of things. Always make sure that other people should benefit from what you have. So you stop thinking about yourself. And that's why I'm making you very wealthy. So you can share so much with other people, so you'll stop thinking about yourself. And that's a really good way to do it. But instead, what do? You try to satisfy yourself into a whole host of averus. And so if that's the way it's going to be, then I'm going to have to discipline you. And that's only for your own benefit. And they'll bring a kapara. Okay, so if that's the kapara, then even then you have to start thinking of others. So now the ultimate kapara is, you figure, whatever I am suffering, let's say I'm suffering, 3 months worth of suffering, right? Got to realize the pain that Hashem has is infinitely greater. Infinitely greater. The fact that it's not just pain of an arm hurting, is Hashem saying, I think the person could have done so much more. I could have given the person so much more. And he won't let me give him more. And the pain of a parent is greater than the pain of the child. If you hook into that pain and feel that other's pain, then you've accomplished the goal of why Hashem was punishing you. Remember, the whole reason he was punishing you is just you forgot about him. Not that he needed it. You needed to remember it. And you're forgetting all that. And now if you genuinely come to Hashem, Hashem says, I know about all the suffering I have, but I know one thing. I'm really sorry that I gave you all this headache. I'm really sorry that I did this to you. And you cry to Hashem and you say, and I wish I would never do this again. And Hashem, please take away the pain so that you won't have to suffer anymore. And I promise I won't do anything to deserve this again. Ah, that's not a selfish prayer. That's a prayer. That's the whole reason that you're supposed to pray to begin with. Then Hashem says that there's no need to give you the pain anymore. I've already, the treatment has been, gone quicker. It's accelerated. You can accelerate the pace. Because if you want to take it the slow way, look at your own pain. It's going to take a long time to fix it up. You want to accelerate the treatment? Get Hashem's pain involved. And it's going to be a deeper pain. And so you didn't get away with anything. Don't think, tshuva, you never get away with tshuva. Say, I'll do an affair, I'll do tshuva, and that's my way of getting away. It's like hiring a good lawyer. I'll do a crime, hire a good lawyer, and they'll get me off the hook. It'll cost me some money, I'll write him a check for $100,000, and then I'm off the hook. That's not how tshuva works. Don't use tshuva as a bargaining chip. Don't use it as a fancy lawyer. Tshuva is meant to hurt. It's meant to hurt because there was a lot of you involved in making the sin happen. There's got to be a lot of you getting the sin out. And therefore, so now that kind of a tefillah will work. Because it's not out of the trick of prayer, but rather it's the trick of what? It's the trick of feeling Hashem's pain. And that is the greatest treatment that a person can have. Because that's ultimately what you're here for, is to feel close to Hashem. You could have felt close to Hashem from all the blessings. Because Hashem, you're so kind. Modani lefanecha. Here's another check for $50,000. I don't have to have a cottage over there. I know Klal Yisrael needs it. Go take it. Hashem says, that kind of guy, give him lots of money. And then he buys all the food, l'kavod Shabbos Kodesh. He has a lot of food. He's not eating it to be fat. He's eating it to show how much he loves Hashem. I give him more. And the guy feels closer to Hashem and closer to Hashem. And that's the way God wants to do it. The person makes mistakes and thinks it's himself and it's not Hashem, and I'll decide how much tzedakah I should give, and it's been a tough year, and I only have had 5 vacations this year. It's been a very hard year for me, and I normally have 10, and I'm suffering greatly. I've only had 5 this year, so I'm going to have to cut back on all my tzedakah donations. It's been a tough economy, and everyone's going to have to understand. Right? And Hashem says, okay, then you don't understand anything. You still aren't thanking me for everything you did. So instead of 5 million, you only made 3 million this year. And because that you can't give tzedakah this year, I'm going to show you what it means not to have. I'm going to show you what it means to feel other people's pain that you don't feel. And that's the way it works. So once you feel it, and you talk to Hashem expressively, then Hashem takes care of that. Okay, anyway. Can't ask any questions, because I only have 8 minutes, and then we'll have to wait a week till I get back to this. So it's going to be very frustrating. Hold your question for a week, and then you'll ask me next week. I'll be very happy to answer it. Okay? Now with this, he goes into the 12th chapter and says, and if you really do it properly, Hashem will even double your reward, because he gives an analogy, and I'll have to do this outside now because I'm running out of time. He brings an analogy. He says a child gets drunk, and he gets drunk, and because he gets drunk, he slips down a stair flight of a stairwell. And then he falls down, he breaks his back, breaks his head, face, whatever. And now they call the ambulance, and now take him to the hospital, and now they got to operate on him, and there's no anesthetics. And they're operating, and the kid is screaming in pain. And the father's there the whole time. Now, the father's in a tremendous amount of pain. Father saw everything. He saw when the child was drunk, he saw the child fall down the stairs. He saw everything. The question is, what was the greatest pain that the father had? Watching the child screaming in pain when he's on the operating table, or watching the child fall down the stairs? Falling down the stairs, because he knows that falling down the stairs is from the time of good, and now he's been put in a situation where it's going to be bad. At that moment, falling down the stairs, even though the kid was drunk, he didn't feel anything going down the stairs. The kid was laughing as he was going down the stairs. Ah, it's a fun ride. But then he hits the bottom, bang! Oh, he broke his in the back. All of a sudden, he feels the pain. Now, the father was already in pain as he saw the kid going down. So we enjoy doing all our Averos, and we go and look at things we shouldn't look at, and we say Lashon Hara we shouldn't say, and we're having a grand time and singing and dancing because we're all a bunch of drunk, crazy people. We're drunk with our ego, and we're talking Lashon Hara here and Lashon Hara there, and we're not so careful about our kashrus, and we eat this thing that's not so good, and we do that, and we're laughing the whole time. And what's Hashem seeing? That we're falling down the stair and breaking our back, and we don't even realize we're laughing the whole time. And then, boom! Then Hashem says, I have to give it to you now. So now, the person shouldn't only say, I feel so bad that Hashem, you had to give me this punishment. Now you start thinking, says, I feel so bad that I made you watch such a terrible movie. I feel so bad that you had to watch me going down the stairs. That you had to watch me eat the treif. You had to watch me say the Lashon Hara. You had to watch me destroy another family's marriage because of the Lashon Hara I said about the husband, etc., etc. And while I was laughing, you were crying. So now the person is suffering doubly, because really it was double what he did wrong. And that's why the Gemara says, anyone who takes Hashem's pain into his pain, Hashem doubles. It's a good thing to know, people, in a bad economy, right at the beginning of the 12th chapter. Gemara says, "Kol mishatev shem shemayim b'tzaro, koflin lo parnasaso." If you take God's pain into consideration, Hashem will double your parnasa. Okay? Meaning to say, because you've now understood the double suffering Hashem has had, so now, because of the effort you made, you know, you're entitled to, Hashem will respond. Hashem will respond to you in a double fashion. So that's the issue over here. Okay, so now finally wondering, where is this taking us to Chana? To our dear Chana. So now if you look in the Hebrew, on the left side where the arrow is, and on the English, on the other side, 92, 93, whatever it is, look where I put Chana's plea. And now you'll understand this all. This is what our rabbi said about Chana. It says, "V'hi moras nefesh." She had a bittered soul. "V'hi spalel al Hashem," and she prayed upon Hashem. Now that is not a correct Hebrew. It should say Tispalel El Hashem. She prayed to Hashem. But the answer, and it says, where it says, Sheheiticha Dvarim Klape Mala. She threw up arguments against Hashem, which I haven't had time to get into all this yet. She had strong complaints against Hashem. So on a simple level, it means you think she must have been complaining to Hashem. But that's not what it means. If it would have said, Bispalel El Hashem, she prayed to Hashem, then we'd see she has her whole shopping list. Her narcissistic shopping list. I want a boy, and the boy should be like this, and he should be like that, and I want to have to make go to Sears and make a nice little picture in his sailor suit, and all these things. That's Bispal El Hashem. That's to Hashem. That's a selfish prayer. That's Al Hashem, upon Hashem. Meaning to say, she's praying on Hashem's suffering. Keiticha Dvarim, she threw up her words, klape, towards Mala, towards Hashem, meaning her focus was on Hashem's pain, not on her pain. She's saying, how can it be that I don't have a child? But what she means is, Hashem, I know how badly you're suffering because you know if I would have a child, that this child would mamish be raised as a tzaddik. And you can't bring him down because Nebuch, the world needs a lot of prayer. And I feel how much pain you have that you're not sending me a child. Because you knew that if I had a child, I would do it. Wouldn't be for me; it would be for you. Ratzolay, we mean to say, Hagam Shiatz Ma'isim Arasef. Even though she was of a bitter soul, she was in pain, no question about it. But in spite of the fact, it's beautiful in six words. What much six words have to say? V'hi Maras Nevis. She is in pain, and most people would just focus on their pain. We'll run to this doctor, we'll go to this Kabbalist, we'll do this and drink this holy water and wear this thread and that thread, because I want to have a baby. I want my toy. I want my pleasure. I want my job. I want. But no. Vatispalel al Hashem. She prayed regarding Hashem's pain. Lomar Hagam, she asked Mohisim Aris Nevis, even though she was a bitter soul, Im Kozel still all, he shlichat Sara. Mineged, she cast her pain away. Lo ichbat lo lispal zaklal. It didn't concern at all to pray for herself. Because she's like the father with the hurt foot that just watched his son fall down the cliff. When you're worried about other people's pain, you're not thinking about your pain. Ela sheiticha tviv reitfilas lefanav, but she cast up the words of her prayer. Lefanav yisparach shemo before Hashem, al atzar shel mala. For the heavenly pain, Hanasa Machma Shishruya Ata Bitsar, because that's happening now because she is in pain. This is a fantastic level. And this is what prayer is all about. This is what praying in suffering is all about. It's to say, forget about me. It's not about me. It's about a bigger purpose. It's about Hashem's plans. Have I lived my life according to Hashem's plans? So obviously, and it doesn't even mean I necessarily did anything bad. Who's to say Chana did even a sin in her life? This is not only now restricted to Hashem has to make you suffer. It's to make you suffer to clean up your act. It could be, but we don't have to say that about Chana. It's nothing to indicate that Chana was a sinner. It could be Hashem, you know what? Nobody's coming to Shiloh. Nobody's talking to you. And this is terrible. And now you have to have a few people talk to you. There's going to be no world. So how do you make that happen? You make it out of having a kid. So I got to mamish pour my heart out to you. I understand it's not about me. It's about all of Klal Yisrael. It's about the pleasures. It's about what my husband was concerned about. And that's why he would go to different cities to get other people to come to Shiloh. But it's not enough that he does that. We need genuine prayer to feel Hashem's pain. And her prayer was all saying, Hashem, I feel so bad for you. So, you know, if you give me the child, it will alleviate your pain. Now, how do we know she's sincere? That's a nice shtick. Oh, the rabbi has a good shtick. Now just say it's Hashem's pain, but really, no, it's my pain, but I'll just say it's Hashem's pain. The answer is, if it's only your pain, you ain't giving that kid away to Hashem, are you? Right? If it's Hashem's pain that you don't have a child, you're going to ask the rabbi what school to send your kid to. not where you want to send the kid to. Then we'll know whose pain you were praying for. This is mamish unbelievable stuff. So when you're suffering, realize it's a bigger pain. If you think about the other pain, you forget about your pain. So number one, you won't even feel it. We all like to wallow. Oh, I'm so forlorn. I'm so depressed. I'm so this. You know. But are you ever depressed when you're hearing other people telling you they're depressed? You're trying to help them. Right? So say, Hashem, I have to help you. It's medach. You're in so much pain. You have to mamish deal with all these nutcases around here. All these people you give blessings to that are screwing up your whole planet. I feel so terrible for you. I feel so bad. The Shekhinah isn't where it's supposed to be. People don't recognize you. And you're praying. And Nebuchadnezzar, I'm part of it. I'm part of the plan. But that's not my pain at all. It's your pain. If that's the focus, he's palel al Hashem, then Hashem answered her tefillas. And not just with any old child, but with a Shmuel Hanavi. Hashem should give us the wisdom to understand how to look at our suffering and how to share Hashem in all this pain. Okay, that's why I couldn't take any questions. I